Morning, everyone. This morning we are in Leviticus 7. And, you know, in Leviticus, as we continue to go through the chapters of the various sacrifices that you would bring, we get more and more details. And one of the things that I've talked about throughout, you know, the first six chapters, how these offerings provided for the Levites and the priests. And we see a lot more of that today. It's as though before we saw hints that they got to eat it, but perhaps while God was giving instruction to Moses and Moses is writing this down, there was questions or there was like, well, hey, when can we do this? When can we do that? You know, when can we partake of this meat? And in chapter 7, we get a lot more of those details on how the food could be eaten for the priests. And it goes over in this chapter, votive offerings, free will offerings, wave offerings, and kind of repeats many of the different offerings: burnt offering, grain offering, sin offering, guilt offering, the ordination offering when you would be ordained as a priest, and peace offerings. And it goes through and talks about when the priest and when the person bringing the offering could participate in the meal. It also even talks about how some offerings were supposed to be eaten that day. I believe that was of a peace offering, but they needed to eat it that day. But other offerings, they could eat it that day and the next day, but God said don't eat it the third day. And you know, that makes sense in regards to refrigeration. You know, I mean, meat is not going to last very long without refrigeration, and God's not wanting them to get sick. So, it, you know, the rules that he gives seem to make sense practically for how long a meat would last. And he said, don't eat any meat that's, you know, been cooked for 3 days later. Don't eat any of that. In fact, there was even punishment for doing that. You know, we get introduced the wave offering here, and literally you would kind of like hold the meat up and wave it before the Lord, just in honor of him. It was to show that the offering was for him. And let me finish this chapter, and then I have some thoughts on this today, but let me finish by what it says in verse 34, and I'm going to read to the end, maybe six verses. For I have taken the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the contribution from the sons of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons as their due forever from the sons of Israel. This is that which is consecrated to Aaron, and that which is consecrated or set apart as holy to his sons from the offerings by fire to the Lord in that day when he presented them to serve as priests to the Lord. This is the tribe that's serving as priests, Aaron and his sons and the Levites. These the Lord has commanded to be given from the sons of Israel in the day that he anointed them. It is their due forever throughout their generations. So the people who serve as priests, this is what was due them in order that they could eat from the grain offering, the peace offerings, and all the offerings. So this was God's way of providing for the people that served as his priest. This is the law of the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the sin offering, and the guilt offering, and the ordination offering, and the sacrifice of peace offerings, which the Lord commanded Moses at Mount Sinai in the day that he commanded the sons of Israel to present their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. And the chapter ends. And one of the things I want to talk to about today is just the way that God set everything up so that the community would work, so that they would remember him, and so that the ministers would be provided for in, you know, the desert tabernacle situation here. You know, we, last few weeks, I think we've done communion a couple times. And, you know, when we celebrate communion, and even just coming to church, or even just opening the word, but all of these things help remind us of our God and help us to keep our focus on him. And, you know, when you wake up and you listen to this devotion, great job, by the way, if you're continuing in the journey of reading the word and listening to, you know, these messages, you know, it's your reminder, isn't it, that God is real, that God is valuable, that he is what we are to live for. And it's so easy for us to focus on ourselves, but by reading the word and listening to this podcast, it helps renew our focus on the Lord. And it's good and right and, you know, like, well done. You know, and when we do communion, it reminds us of what Jesus Christ did for us on that cross and that he gave us forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. And all of these reminders are important. Now, I want you to picture them in the, you know, in the desert and, you know, having God camp in the middle in the tabernacle. When they would bring these offerings to God, it was a way of renewing their relationship with God, remembering him, being generous to God, showing God that they appreciated him. And it was also a way of showing their appreciation to the priests and making sure that the priests were well fed. It was a way to be generous. It was a way to show that life isn't all about me, but life is about God. And as they did these things, it strengthened their relationship with God, as well as provided for their sacrifice of atonement for the sins that they've made. But some of it was just celebrating their relationship with God. You know, I'm going out of town. I wasn't going to make it to church. And I went to Bible study yesterday and I wanted to give. And I, you know, I wasn't going to be there Sunday. So, I wrote a check and went and deposited it in our little box at church. And, you know, what's that like for you? I think, you know, it's such a reminder of what we're here for. God does ask or gives us guidance to give a tithe. That's 10%. In the New Testament, it talks about, you know, God loving a cheerful giver. And, you know, clearly God wants us to give to his kingdom. And, you know, I think when you do, it feels good, doesn't it? But yet there's a sacrificial element to it. I mean, you know, as the economy, I guess 10% is always 10%, but, you know, as life goes on and inflation and all that, you know, for some of you who make a lot of money, that's a pretty big check. If you make less money, it doesn't matter. It's still a lot of money, right? And I think there's a reminder in it, isn't there, when we give, that, like, God is important and that he's worth living for and that God wants us to be generous and God loves a cheerful giver. And I think it does something in our relationship with God when we're giving to God, and it renews our relationship with him. We know it gives him pleasure. It pleases him, you know, when we give. And then, you know, it provides for the whole church and everything that takes place there. You know, maybe sometimes, I'm sure most of you probably do think of it to a certain extent, but, you know, a church has bills just like a house has bills. And these Levites and Aaron in the desert had to eat just like everybody else. And, you know, think about it. The church has, you know, electric bill and a heat bill and a sewer and water bill and, you know, staff, you know, whether it be administrative staff, children's women's ministry, or co-ed ministry, you know, Sarah at our church, and then, you know, the pastor, taxes. We still pay, you know, income taxes to the federal government when we pay as employees of the church. We pay property taxes on the building. There's maintenance, on the building, whether it be roofs and siding and furnaces and central air and, you know, you name it, you know, worship teams, youth ministry pay, you know, tech stuff needed there. It's just, you know, life takes resources, right? Everything that, you know, it's just kind of keep everything moving, you know, resources are needed. And I want to say, you know what, and we have people listening from whomever, but, you know, praise God for the generosity of people at our church. And it's been a great year of church growth. It's been a great year of people giving and being generous. But I think there's something to it. And I think that God, you know, even right away when this community's starting in the desert, he's setting up a system of giving offerings to renew people's relationship with God, to show God that we think he's important, to provide for the ministry of the tabernacle, for the ministry of the priests. And it needs to happen, right? I mean, all these things need to be given, or the Levites wouldn't have been able to eat, they wouldn't have been able to serve, they would have had to go out and get other jobs and be focused on, something else other than serving the tabernacle if the people didn't provide, for their needs. And I think it's important for all of us to be in the Word, but I wanna thank you for allowing me to be in full-time ministry. And obviously, this is part of it right here. I mean, not that this is always what a minister does is teach every day from the Word, but it's something God's called me to do, and you're providing so that I don't have to have a job that takes me away from providing this teaching for you. So praise God for the whole church and for how God has set up a system to provide for it so that the church could lead in helping people grow mature in their faith. Thank God, right, for his means of forgiveness. Now it's through Jesus. We don't have all these offerings anymore, but we do offer him of our resources. We offer him of our gifts. We offer him of our time and talents. And we come to church and we receive communion and we hear the word. And all of this is good and it's for the glory of God. And I want to thank you for taking part in it. May your sacrifice of giving bring praise and adoration to our God, just like a wave or a peace offering did. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you all.